Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Friday edition of the LeadX Leadership Show, also known as the Fan Mail Friday edition, also known as Kevin is still sick as a dog and is in Houston getting ready to give a keynote speech in an hour or two. So this is another podcast recorded in a hotel room and will be a little different and a little shorter than a lot of these other Friday shows. In just a minute, I'm going to answer questions about getting people to stop cursing at work, the ratio of good to bad feedback, and what do you do if your employee keeps calling out sick and they say it's because work is making them sick? Work is stressing them out so much. But first, if you enjoy this podcast, if you get any value from it at all, please either go leave a quick rating or review on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen, or go to leadx.org and sign up for the free trial of the LeadX Academy. If you decide to keep it for a year, it's only $7 a month. You get over 200 of my mini lessons on productivity and leadership and communication and career and more, over 100 executive book summaries, dozens of webinars, the ability to ask an executive coach anything you want and to get advice, and you're going to get the new LeadX Big Five Personality Assessment, which we're launching next month. When we launch that, the price is going to go up 400%. Yes, that $7 becomes like $25 a month. No joke. Now or never. But anyway, let's get on with the stuff. I'm trying more and more to remember to kind of make this like a weekly personal blog. I'm told I should connect more with you on a personal basis. I always love hearing from you on email. Just send me an email, kevin@leadx.org. Tell me what you're up to. Tell me what questions you have. And, other than being sick as a dog again, it's still been another crazy week. Just hired a great young star to head up our customer success groups for our new enterprise customers. If you have 10 or more managers that need training in your company, let me know. We'll do a free trial, put tons of effort, and show you the proof, show you the data that the LeadX Academy is making a difference in your manager's confidence and effectiveness and productivity. So I'm excited about that. I've got a consultant chief technology officer until I can find a full-time CTO. If you know anyone who wants to be my full-time CTO, send them my way. So things are really humming as we are just adding more modules and getting our enterprise software, our enterprise iOS app ready to launch. So it's been fun. And what else is going on? You know, a week ago, I talked about how my daughter, she has to pick a college to go to, you know, this month. She's a senior in high school. And I shared her dilemma, you know, last week. There's two like very good Northeastern top 100 schools she's trying to pick from, both very good schools. But she's struggling because one doesn't have a major in the field that she wants to study. So academically, it's not quite right for her. But beautiful campus, beautiful city, great student body life, great dorms, great food. Like she would just love to go there. The other place has a good program in her field of study. Still a good, it's New York, great city, but not such a great environment that the campus is in. Horrible dorms. There's mice running around in the dorms. The food is really awful. So it's like, does she go for the academics or does she go for the better, you know, lifestyle? And what I didn't expect as I was sharing, my point in sharing this story was, you know, the advice I gave to Natalie, which is really just a vehicle to give to all of you, that when you've got a tough decision, it's a good thing. It means there's no bad decision. And more important than the decision, it's not like it's this do or die decision. It's what you make of it after you've made the decision. Feel the fear of that big decision or that uncertainty and do it anyway and know that you can make the best of it. Well, to my surprise, I got a ton of email from people giving me advice as to which college my daughter should go to. And the funny thing is it was split, like 50-50. So half the people were like Laura, who emailed me and said, if she's serious about her field of study, she needs to pick the place that she'll learn the most in that field. The social aspects of college are way overrated, in my opinion. Knowledge lasts forever. And then the other side of it was a lot of people who said, listen, most people change their major one or more times once they're in college. And if it's a liberal arts degree, which this is, I mean, what does that do to get you a job this day and age anyway? So it's not about like one major, one piece of knowledge or going to college to get the job. It's about, you know, the overall experience and being able to explore a lot of different fields. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, that so many people had a strong opinion about this and they were kind of split on opposite sides of the fence. Myself, again, I don't think there's a right answer. For myself, like if I could go back and do it again, to me, college, first of all, college is totally overrated, totally unnecessary, unless you're going into something like engineering or you want to be a doctor. You know, this day and age, I mean, there's so many successful people who have no college education or very minimal or whatever it is. And I think that college is a great place to finish growing up and to explore the world and to gain self-awareness and to learn about a lot of different things and to set yourself up for additional education or experience down the road. And in fact, I think nobody should go into debt for an undergraduate liberal arts education. If you have to pay for it yourself, if you're going to be borrowing money, go do 2 years at a community college and then transfer those credits into a four-year program. Save yourself some money and you'll still get a good degree. My friend, former Congressman Patrick Murphy, he did 2 years at Bucks County Community College, and he became a U.S. congressman, a successful lawyer, ran the Army from the Pentagon for a while, so under the Obama administration. So nothing wrong with community college as a way to get started. One fun thing that came out of this question, someone sent me a link to the U-Science assessment, which I'd never heard of before. It's uscience.com, youscience.com. It basically, it's one of these like career fit, you know, we translate your talents into real world careers is their claim. But it looks pretty legit, like some smart people and some validated research behind it. And it only costs $29. They claim that it's effective at age 14 and above. So like freshmen in high school and later. And this is perfect. I'm going to have my son, who is going to be a freshman next year in high school, I'm going to have him take it over the summer, because unlike my girls, who they thought they knew what they wanted to do from a fairly young age, I don't think it's going to stick, but you know, they thought they knew. My son doesn't know. He likes YouTube videos. He likes playing video games. He likes playing soccer and basketball and all that kind of stuff, but he does not seem to be interested in anything. So maybe taking something like uscience.com will help him out. So I'm not behind this thing. I haven't done it. I'm not, you know, paid to endorse them. I'm just going to try it out. Thought it was a good suggestion. So let's get to some of these questions that I got this week from listeners, from my newsletter subscribers. And if you didn't know, I send out a weekly email newsletter. First of all, there's a LeadX newsletter at leadx.org, or go to kevincruse.com, Kevin, and then it's K-R-U-S-E.com. And I have sort of a personal email newsletter that covers a lot of stuff too. So I got a few questions. And one question, actually, this came from somebody who was in the audience at a keynote when I was talking about leadership and engagement. And they said, well, Kevin, how do I start doing the good behaviors? Like giving recognition and asking people about their weekends and their families. If I've never done that before, I mean, won't that come off as I'm just being fake or I'm not being authentic? Now, I paraphrased the question for the audience as, so the question is, if you've been a bad boss all this time and now want to be a good boss, won't people think you're being kind of weird for a while? And the audience really laughed at that. I don't think the guy who asked the question appreciated it. But I said that, you know, it is a good question. Like, how do you start doing behaviors around growth, recognition, and trust if you've never done them before? And the truth is, I heard this from Marshall Goldsmith. Marshall Goldsmith said with all the CEOs he works with, they get frustrated because they start fixing their bad behaviors. You know, they start polishing off the rough edges. And yet they don't get any feedback. They're not getting any credit. And often it takes up to 6 months, because the people on your team, they, you know, have worked with you for a year or years or whatever it's been. they've already determined what kind of person you are, how you are. You know, they might say, Kevin's a bad boss, or Kevin doesn't care about us as people, or Kevin never shows gratitude, whatever it is. So they have a conclusion. So if one day I now thank you for something or ask you about your weekend or something like that, you're not even going to notice because you're noticing the things that I do to reinforce your worldview. So when you do something good and I don't acknowledge it, you're like, yep, there he goes again. Like, you just look at the data that reinforces your worldview. When you see data, you know, when data happens that conflicts with your worldview, conflicts with your model of how your boss works, how the world works, you're going to reject it at first. You know, there's, it's not congruent. So you have to boss, anybody who's changing behaviors has to keep doing it over and over again. And then eventually it will get noticed, but discounted. Huh, that's weird. Kevin thanked me in front of the whole team today at the team meeting for coming in over the weekend. I've been coming over the weekend for years. He's never done that before. That's weird. And then, you know, you might even think, you know, what's going on? Did he, you know, why is he being weird? Or that's never going to happen again or whatever. But when I do it again and again, eventually my opinion of you will change. My opinion of my boss will change. It can take 6 months. It can literally take 6 months. What I have found, like, one of the only effective ways to shorten this is to just have a conversation about it, to be upfront and to explain the catalyst. Like, people can understand if there's a catalyst to a behavior change. So, you know, my advice to this person who asked was, you know, just say, the catalyst can be anything. You say, hey guys, you know, for this weekly team meeting, before we start, I just want to let you know that I met this weird guy named Cruz. You know, the CEO had him at our offsite last week. He said a lot of weird stuff, but some of it made sense, and I'm going to try it. So I hope to get better at giving, you know, recognition. And I've always cared about you guys, but I know I haven't always shown it. I don't always pause and take time to, you know, interact with you on a personal level. And I know it's going to seem weird, but I'm just going to try to be, you know, a better leader. So I'm going to do my best, and I hope you understand where that's coming from. And, you know, it could be, the catalyst can be anything. Hey guys, I was coming into work today and I heard this podcast about how I should hold weekly one-on-one meetings with you. And I know I've never done that before and maybe it's not going to work, but I heard this podcast. I'd love to give it a try. So I'm going to be reaching out and just getting on your calendar for some one-on-one meetings. You could blame a book. Hey guys, you know, I know this is going to sound weird, but I read this book, which I don't know if it's going to fit me or not, but it says that I need to do a better job of giving recognition. I really do appreciate you guys. I just am so busy, I forget to say thank you. I'm going to try to get better at that. And I hope it sticks. I don't know. You know, you can keep me honest with that, but I read this book and that's why I'm going to start trying to do a better job of saying thank you. I got another question, and it's sort of similar. Someone said, hey, I've been lax on cursing in the office, but now I want them to stop. How do I do that? So again, if you're trying to change the culture or whatever, you just need to explain why, and everyone's got to get along with the program. So in this case, I mean, I'm not sure what the background is, but you might say something like, hey, you know, we're very informal here, and personally, cursing has never bothered me in the workplace. However, as time has gone on or our team has changed or we've hired new people, I've come to realize that many people are offended or feel badly when people curse. And we certainly want to have an open and inclusive and positive work environment. We want to keep everybody thinking about and focused on our mission, which is X, Y, and Z. So I'd like to ask you to refrain from cursing if at all possible. And if I hear someone curse in a meeting, then I'm just going to, you know, point it out to you in case you have forgotten. So that's all. You just need to explain why you're changing the policy. I got a question. I get this one a lot. What is the ratio of good feedback to bad feedback? I think that whole idea of a ratio is horrible. The worst is the feedback sandwich where you're supposed to give like a good piece of feedback and then a bad piece of feedback and then a good piece of feedback. I mean, it's contrived and it's confusing, and that sounds like management practice from the 1950s. I've heard even like my friend, and I respect him, Ken Blanchard, and others have mentioned something like a 4-to-1 ratio. You know, if you want to optimize motivation, you should be giving four times more praise than you are criticisms. I think that's BS. Basically, feedback, whether it's constructive, you know, negative, constructive or positive, is a gift. You are a coach. Managers are coaches. So you want to reinforce the positive behaviors and you want to help people to grow. You want to help them to do their job better. You want to get them ready for their promotion. And that comes from constructive feedback. If it's coming from a place of caring, you want to do it as much as possible. So I think it's more about being mindful of opportunities for feedback. And if someone's done 10 great things this week and did one thing that they could have done better, then the feedback ratio is 10 to 1 positive. And if they did one thing that you thought deserved positive reinforcement and they did 10 things that really they need to stop, then it's a 1 to 10 ratio. So don't worry about ratios. Just give feedback every time it's deserved, positive and or constructive. And here's the last one. So this came through our LeadX platform, a question to one of our executive coaches. And I'm going to paraphrase it and I'm going to shorten the LeadX response. But basically, it was someone that said, I've got an employee who keeps calling out sick because they're too stressed out to come into work. They say the job is stressing them out. So I think that, look, if you're in a big company, maybe you're supposed to do things like refer them to your health and wellness program, or maybe you have a workplace therapist or something. I don't know. But in most cases, that's not the question. It's like, how do you handle someone who just can't handle the stress of the job and now they're calling out? I mean, at a very basic level, I wouldn't make it about the stress at all. I wouldn't try to resolve their stress or change their workplace or whatever. First of all, if they are calling out sick more than the sick days that they have, well, then you give them feedback on that. They've exceeded their sick days, and that's one way to deal with it. But separate from that, even if they haven't, they've got 100 sick days this year and they've only taken 5, that doesn't matter. Sick days and comp time and all of that is always in the framework of being able to perform your job duties. And there's no HR law that prevents you from sitting someone down and saying, listen, I know you've been out sick a lot and you haven't exceeded your days, but you still need to be able to perform your duties. And by calling out sick so frequently or with so little notice or whatever, or around our quarterly closing time or during our big deliverables, it is interfering with our team's ability to deliver. So, you just let them know that, like, they are failing to perform their duties by calling out sick so much. And I think that's it. I mean, you in most states, and, depending on whether you're a manager in Europe or California or somewhere else, but in most states in the United States, it's still an at-will workplace. You can fire people for no reason, not for any reason, because you can't fire someone for the illegal reasons, related to race or gender or disability or whatever that is. You can fire people for no reason or fire them for not being able to perform their duties. And if someone is feeling so stressed out that they can't come to work and do their job, that sounds to me like they're unable to perform their reasonable duties, the reasonably expected duties. So just talk to them about that and hopefully they'll stop calling out sick and start working. Otherwise, maybe it's a good time to then have a positive conversation from a place of caring about, hey, maybe this role isn't right for you. I mean, not everybody's cut out to be a police officer or a firefighter or a CEO. I mean, there's a lot of jobs that are stressful or dangerous or whatever. So, hey, maybe this is just a mismatch. Do they think it's a mismatch? Can you help them to find another job that fits them in the company? Or can you help them to find another job outside of the company? One or the other. So that's all I got for you today, coming from the beautiful Four Seasons Hotel in Houston, Texas. I think I've only been to Houston once or twice. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please leave a review if you have. Please check out LeadX Academy on leadx.org. And of course, remember, be mindful of your leadership influence. You are a leader. You are always leading, influencing those around you at home, at work, in the grocery store. How are you going to lead today?